Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 56 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Thank you for listening, and our major topic today is on confidence, but we'll get right to that after I tell you that everything to do with Wrinkled Not Dead can be found on our blog, which is wrinklednotdead.com. All one word, wrinklednotdead.com. All of our prior episodes are there, and all kinds of great stuff, products, everything. We're doing
yeah, we
well
go into depth a little bit more. Like today we're talking about confidence, so we'll have a little more on confidence on our blog.
Mm-hmm.
And Health Minute, you know, just kind of cool little stuff in there that you can look at. And also, if you can tell your friends and family that they can find us on iTunes if they don't want to look up wrinklednotdead.com, but they can, and that would be the easiest way. And word of mouth is so important because
then
we can continue to bring you free and interesting information and funny. We hope to bring you some laughs.
Oh, this is a barrel of laughs. Usually it is, though. You know, we kind of get into it. We have a lot of fun. It gets to be pretty extemporaneous, as they say. We're in self-help because I'm 65. Jen is 60 years of age. We've had a long and interesting past in the radio, television industry and theater industry. And now that we're getting older, we know that there are things that we must do in order to keep up the momentum. And we'd love to be able to help people like ourselves uplift and succeed beyond their own expectations.
Yeah, we've had a company called Michael Bell Productions, and we do radio and TV advertising and training, video training, corporate speaking, but advertising has changed recently, quite quickly.
A lot.
And instead of the regular TV advertising, which was dominant back just a couple of years ago, now there's streaming videos, there's Hulu, there's all kinds of stuff, and so we're moving in that way, and we kind of want to show you how we've changed and how we've had to embrace that change to stay in business.
Pretty happy way, though, too. It's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. Change is always tough.
Oh, yeah. Okay. One of our landmarks, and everybody kind of loves this one, it's called Rose and Thorn. Rose is something that's nice that took place during the week. We publish every week. And Thorn is something that maybe wasn't so terrific. So I'm going to start, if you don't mind.
I'm
going to start with my Thorn.
Okay.
All right. My car has an electrical problem, a fault. So what's happening, it's got a sensor that's going off. It doesn't mean that anything is actually wrong. It's the sensor is wrong. And so after about 4 miles of driving, suddenly you get this horrible sound. You know, your heart goes bam. It's nothing really. A bunch of lights come on and all that kind of stuff. So it's a pain in the butt. I really don't want to fix it because it's kind of expensive to do. Now, the Rose, the car is 15 years old. We drive them until they drop. That's been something that we've done all the way through our lives, right? We buy a good car, and you drive it till it's dead.
We pride ourselves if we can get up to like
210,000
miles or something.
I know.
I think I got my BMW. I had a little BMW.
Yeah.
I think it was a 210 or 220.
211.
211, okay.
211. Yeah. We kept tabs on that. That was a nice car.
Gorgeous
car. It was a
car.
Great car. It was a terrific one. What's yours?
Well, I'll start with the Thorn first. I hate doing taxes, and we have a C-Corp. We have a corporation, Michael Bell Productions is Inc., and we have a different corporate year-end than a tax year-end, I should say, other than the April 15th that everybody has for their personal taxes. And I just hate doing this because corporate tax returns are, I have no idea what's going on. Thank God we have a good CPA who's been with us from the beginning.
The very beginning.
And I just hate it. And I get all nervous and all worried. And I'm on a diet. And I started eating chocolate.
And, I didn't see that.
It starts out that you owe X amount of thousands of dollars.
$8 million.
Yeah. And then once you go through it bit by bit and you explain what's this and what's that, he goes, oh, yeah, okay, this. Oh, you know what? You owe nothing. You're actually in a deficit.
Oh, geez,
so my point being is that we always worry about something. And our thoughts are far worse than the outcome generally. And I say this over and over again, but it's really hard to lasso your thoughts in and say, you know what? This is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's taxes. You know, we don't cheat. It's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Everything is out there and it's going to be good. But why do we always go to the negative, get ourselves all messed up, And then the rose is, you know what? It wasn't so bad. Why?
The apprehension, to be brief and to the point, but everybody, you have to recognize, everybody gets like weirded out about taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, from the day you're born, practically, taxes loom over every American, Canadian, Brit, Aussie, anybody, anywhere. When they hear taxes, you get this horrible, clongy feeling in your heart. So that's all right. That's all right. But your point is well taken. It's the apprehension, not the actual function itself that gets you.
The two things they say you can guaranteed in life is death and taxes.
And wrinkles. Unless you have
the money. To get
and then you end up looking like a wax museum, you know, Madame Tussauds or something, you know. So I don't know. We're not going there right now anyway. Hey, so you have a new idea, which I love. Mm-hmm. And it's called, it kind of spins off something that we used to do called Apropos of Nothing, but that had sounded a little bit highfalutin. And you said, why don't we just call it Fun Facts?
Yeah.
So a factoid that you find that's kind of humorous and interesting because, again, we're trying to lift everybody up, inspire everybody, get loose out there a little bit and help yourself to get better every day. So my fun fact, and you found this, and I cannot believe this. This is absolutely great. Sports fans, there is a 51% chance that a flipped coin will land on the side that was facing up when it was flipped. Okay, so you're watching a football game, right? Mm-hmm. American football game. The coin is on the referee's thumb. Heads is facing up. That's the one you call. 51% chance that it will be heads when it hits the ground.
I never knew this?
I didn't know this. There's got to be every sports team in the world going, they must have known that. Come on. It's craziness.
I know.
If there's a 51% chance, then you know they're all doing that. Now, for any sports event that I watch where there is a coin toss at the beginning of the game, I'm going to be watching to see who calls it and if it is the one that's facing up.
We'll do our own research.
We will do our own. But I don't really follow sports, so it's probably going to get lost in the mists of time, as they say.
Well, I've got an interesting one, and it will lead into our topic today of confidence.
Confidence.
The human brain remembers more negative memories than positive ones. This is due to the negativity bias that the brain sets up as a defense mechanism. So basically...
Okay, I'm kind of with you.
Okay, hang on. Basically, we remember all the bad things that happened to us. Our brain stores them at the front, so we remember them to protect us from the ongoing battles that we think are coming toward us, just like the taxes.
How so?
Oh my gosh, the taxes are going to be awful. Oh. I had all negative thoughts about it. And then when it turned out that, hey, you don't owe anything, everything looks really good, I feel elated. So I'm also wondering, do we set our brain up that way to actually get that uplift at the end that, hey, it wasn't so bad?
God, that's deep.
I don't know. Whoa. But isn't that interesting?
No, it's really interesting.
And you know, when you talk to people about things, they don't remember the compliments, but they remember...
A slight. For decades. Yeah.
And we forget all the, oh, you look beautiful, or what a pretty dress, or you're such a nice person, or whatever. We remember the slight. So it's our brain protecting us.
That's so cool that was articulated like that. I know you beat on it for a while thinking about it, because at first blush, you read that statement and you go, what? Now it makes a lot of sense. Good for you.
So if we're set up that way, how do we keep a confident attitude?
Okay.
How do we build confidence?
Okay. All right. I will give you an example by going to an interview. And we're bringing back something that was very popular, but it kind of more difficult to achieve. But it was real people with real jobs. And we've had some very interesting folks on there. Real people with real jobs. In this case, I encountered a young woman who has joined as the support technical person for the Skinny Confidential, our friend Lauren Everts and Michael Bostick. And I went in there to interview them about Mother's Day, because there were a bunch of young people in that office, and I thought, oh, they'd be fun. And it was fun. But in waiting for somebody else to arrive for the last interview, I got speaking with Valerie Amoroso about how it came to be that she was in the east of the United States, in the east, on the eastern coast, and ended up on the west coast of the United States by pursuing with confidence what her dream was, to work with the Skinny Confidential. So, ladies and gentlemen, Valerie Amoroso. I'm with Valerie Amoroso, who's a real person with a real job. What is your job?
I work for The Skinny Confidential, which mm-hmm. is a lifestyle blog turned book and podcast. And mm-hmm. I do marketing, outreach, and brand growth, and then general just help with the site.
Marketing, outreach, and brand growth. So you're in front of a screen all day pretty much then, huh?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
How long have you been doing this?
I would say I started, it's about a little more than a year now. I started interning for the Skinny Confidential last March and then got hired full time in August.
Now, you have a pretty interesting story about how you actually got this job. Where were you when you heard about the internship? Where were you living?
So I had just graduated college. I graduated a semester early and I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I'm, you know, looking online and just trying to find jobs. I was very into health and wellness and knew I wanted to do something in that field. And I knew I wanted to probably go to the West Coast. Since I was in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And so
the West Coast, have you been here before? We're recording this in Southern California. We're in San Diego. Had you been here?
Yeah. So actually the summer before I had interned in LA and I actually hated it. So my parents were like, you really want to go back to California? Are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I have a good feeling about San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually looking for jobs and I had been following Lauren for a few years. I honestly don't even remember how I found her blog anymore because it was so long ago.
Uh-huh.
But I saw on Instagram that she had posted, hey, we're looking for interns. And I was like,
really?
This is exactly what I need. You know, like this uh-huh. looks right up my alley. So I applied and, you know, I got a few interviews and I was, you know, really nervous because I was, you know, in North Carolina remotely. You know, I wasn't going to be in San Diego with them. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get it or anything. But luckily, they took a risk, Jordan, and decided that they would let me work remotely and see how it went. So I did everything online and like would have calls a couple of times a week or so just to check in. And then once everyone else graduated and I'd been interning for a little bit, I was like, hey, I'm going to move out to San Diego if you guys are ready to hire me.
Just pack a bag.
Awesome.
And
that's
so where did you stay when you first got here?
So I'm really lucky, and I actually have a cousin out here who lives here, and so I stayed with her probably for like a month or so
okay.
while I was figuring out if I was, you know, hired and where I wanted to live and everything. So
oh
I was really
gosh.
Lucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a specific training for this job?
No.
Yeah,
definitely
when
not.
When you described what you're doing, I thought, well, how do you learn that stuff?
I studied media and journalism in college
okay.
with a focus on public relations. So I guess in a way you kind of can get some skills, but I think a lot of it, especially with how quickly technology changes, you just have to be kind of learning on the go.
Yeah.
Like you can have an idea about, you know, how SEO works and how marketing works, but it's like
SEO is
search engine optimization.
Oh.
So that helps get your page yeah. ranked and for people to see your site.
There's a lot of people who are wrinkled, not dead, listening and going, what is this girl talking about here?
Yeah.
But that's a real person with a real job. You know, it's yours is clearly defined, but not understandable to everybody, is it?
No. My parents probably don't even really know what I do on a day-to-day basis.
So were you interested in going into broadcasting? You know, actual broadcasting?
No, not really at all.
No.
I don't really want to. I don't have a desire to really
perform.
Be in front of everyone. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah, because you just sit in front of the screen all day pounding away over there.
Yeah,
huh?
I feel like I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person.
Okay. So you like the organization aspect of it?
Yeah,
because your boss is pretty much out there. She's the performer of
Definitely.
All performers, isn't she, Lauren?
Oh, yeah. I try to bring some organization to it. I love the creative end on it, though, which is really fun. Like, I get to help out with that, just thinking of new ways that we can engage with readers and everything and what they might find exciting. So that's really fun.
That's great. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
That's something I've been thinking about a lot recently. And I used to get really stressed kind of being like, oh, I need to know what I want to do and where I'm going to be. And I'm at a point right now where I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And I'm still trying to figure that out and just not focusing on the aspect of like, oh, like I have time to figure it out. So okay. I'm not really sure.
Well, that's good. That's a good answer. Yeah. This whole episode, this particular one, is about confidence. And when I first met you and you told me the story about how you became part of this organization, I thought, now there's a girl who has it in spades. She's got confidence. So would you say that's one of your best qualities?
Oh, thank you. That's really nice to say. I guess so. I think it's, I don't know if it's one of my best qualities, but I think it's something you need in life. And I, you know, just want to get the most out of life. So, yeah. You know, why else should you not be confident? Like, everyone wants to help you and you can help everyone else. And
did you get that from your parents? Did they instill the idea of confidence in you?
I guess so. Yeah. They've always encouraged me to do whatever I wanted and uh-huh. always supported me. And yeah. Definitely.
They may not know what you're doing, but I'm sure they're very proud of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think so. I like to think so.
That's great. Valerie Amoroso, a real person with a real job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Woo.
Well, eh?
Wow. I mean, talk about vision and talk about this is what I want to do, and I'm going to basically make this my job, whether mm-hmm. they need me or not, which they did. But I am going to get in there and show that they need me.
Well, she's such a pleasant person, too. I mean, really, I'm so glad that she's part of our community here on the West Coast now. And I know that that's a happy office, and all the people in that office there are very amenable to each other. And part of that is because she's a new team member and she's doing a heck of a job with confidence. I love it.
So she was able to put those bad thoughts behind, like, oh, they're not going to want me.
Scary.
What happens when I come out there? Yeah. I'm going to be poor on the street. Whatever crazy stuff goes through everybody's head. And she could see through and said, no, I'm not going to listen to all you bad confidence, you know, non-confident things. Mm-hmm. I'm going for it. So.
Mm-hmm. But I have to say, during our lives and careers together, we've confronted the same issues. If you cast your own mind back, and I'm asking our listeners to do this too, remember when you had an opportunity to make something change in your life and you weren't 100% sure it was going to work out, but you were going to approach it with confidence and attack it. Remember that out there? That's who you need to be now, again and again and again, as long as it takes. Don't you agree?
I agree. As one gets older, you get tired, and you lose that feeling, and you have to find it somewhere.
The mojo.
You do. You lose it because you're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, do I want to like put all that effort into that confidence?
Okay. Well, God knows, over our careers, we have, I put in quotations, taught things about confidence.
Yes.
In either video training or live training or a number of other things that we've done over the years. And so this is like reviewing older material to us, but we kind of scrounged around and found some bullet points that might be helpful in describing confidence. Again, and some of the folks out there are going to be laughing at some, well, I knew that. Well, yeah, okay, you knew that, but have you remembered it recently?
I tell you, we trained this, we did this kind of training
for
years and years, and years, and Mike, I forgot it all.
Yeah,
because if it's not on the top of your mind, you forget it.
Yeah,
particularly as you get older.
If you're not living it,
exactly,
right? Exactly. So just to put the a little official stamp on it, confidence, the feeling or belief that one can rely on themselves, someone else, or something. That's technically what confidence is. Now there's a whole other bunch of definitions of confidence, like, I'll tell you a confidence, that's a secret. But this is what we're referring to, is this belief that you can rely on yourself, someone else, or something. First point, go ahead.
Think positive. Now, that may seem simple, but that's very complicated. Expect that what you're doing will work because you're committed to it.
Okay, flip side of that. Kill negative thoughts. If it's a bug, squash it, kill it, replace it with a positive one. How much more simple than that? It takes training. It does. Because those weird, negative, horrible things come sneaking in at every opportunity. But if you can start to train yourself to crush those thoughts and replace them with the possibility of a positive outcome, you're already halfway home. Okay?
But that training is the tough part. You have to keep reminding yourself over and over and over again. Yeah, it's like breaking a bad habit.
Yeah.
It's like when you start a diet, the first 3 days are really tough. So once you get past the first 3 days, you start feeling a little bit better. So it's like anything you do, you have to break a bad habit and replace it with a good one.
And replacing it with a good one, it doesn't take place overnight.
No.
It usually takes a number of weeks before, even with a daily application of something, that it'll start to stick. Am I wrong?
I agree with you, and particularly if our brains are hardwired for negative thoughts.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So then we're, you know.
Exactly. You're fighting uphill to begin
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
I know. Here, these are practical points now up ahead. I mean, because basically it comes down to, right, the whole idea of confidence is you're positive or you're negative. The idea is to get rid of the negative and go to the positive. But here's some things.
One thing that helps for me is to groom myself. You know, I wash my hair, I put some makeup on,
yes.
I kind of get dressed up a little bit. And I always remember you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. And
yes,
that
indeed.
Really has held with me. That was part of our training that we did with the brick for many years. And it's true. And once you kind of believe in, once you kind of create the package, then you can kind of push the positive out of there. You know what I'm saying? Once you've created this sort of the positive looking shell, then it's easier to work on the inside.
Well, part of that is, you know, you have a proper haircut. You know, if you're a guy, you shave. Or not. I mean, millennials don't shave anymore.
Yeah,
they got the beards all the time. But it rolls off into also out of personal grooming into dressing, I would say, dressing appropriately, right? It doesn't
exactly.
have to be the $5,000 jacket or the this or the that, right? Is that right?
I absolutely agree, because that goes into our next point, which is working on your self-image. It means a lot to us. We have a mental picture of ourselves, and it determines our outcome of confidence. But this picture, you know, isn't fixed in your head. You can change it. You can see yourself as something different if that's what you want to be. If I decide, okay.
It's visualization,
exactly.
Right?
It's be, do, have.
Oh, have we not heard that before?
Okay. Tell us a be, do, have.
All right. Well, let me set it up because it's fun.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Hang on, everybody.
Right. Okay. No, 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 no. We actually learned how to do this stuff for a company that we worked for called The Brick, who were looking to instill corporate values into their company structure in order to welcome new employees, give them the expectations of the company, and what expectations the new hired person could have from the company. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, this is a long time ago.
They were way ahead of themselves.
They were
then.
Way ahead. And they decided, because we had a theatrical background and I was on TV and still am on TV and all this stuff, well known in the nation, that it would be a good idea to train these folks in order to do that kind of work. And it was in its infancy in a lot of parts of the world and parts of the United States and Canada, but they spent the money to train us to do this. And one of the courses that we took, and I'm not going to even bother mentioning it, stressed this particular concept, be, do, have. Now, here's what after a long time, I finally found something that kind of indicates what that actually means. And if it sounds like I'm reading this, I am, because it is instilled in me, but I want to make absolutely sure that I'm accurate, okay? More than just thinking positive, you have to put positivity into action. Action is the key to developing self-confidence. It's one thing to think positive, of course, but when you start acting on it, you change yourself one action at a time. You are what you do. And so if you change what you do, you change who you are. This is, I just had goosebumps. Now, for me, this is so clear. Act in a positive way. Take action instead of telling yourself you can't. Be positive. Talk to people in a positive way. Be, do, have.
So the B is I'm going to become this.
I'm becoming a positive person.
So then I'm doing this to be a positive person,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
So
the have is your goal.
Now I have.
Got
it. What I wanted to have with being a positive person. So you got to do it. You set it up. It's in three structures. Be it, do, with all those actions, and then you will have what you're seeking. And I thought that was great. I loved that thing. And it does reflect on positivity more than anything. But there's, let me give you an example. Do you mind?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Here's one of those things in my own life. You know that I went up to do an appearance on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is an ambush thing. I mean, you don't know really what's going to happen. It's all live stuff. It's really intense. So in order to prepare to do that kind of thing, and I've done it a couple of times in a row now, a couple of years in a row, but I hearken back to our own theater experience on just visualizing what could possibly happen out there. What am I going to do? How am I going to present myself? How am I going to make my character be believable? And I kind of go into this bizarre zone, and I know it sounds like it's self-aggrandizement, but it's the truth. I can ask my producer about this. He says, you're going into Michael Bell now, aren't you? Because I kind of vague out. But what I'm doing is I'm rehearsing every conceivable idea, preparing every conceivable moment that I can come up with in preparation for being the Michael Bell character that people are going to be excited to see. And that's part of be, do, have for me, because it's all internal until it gets out there into the audience before the cameras, and then bam, you cannot fail. You can't, because you've done all the preparation and the work. And that's, to me, what be, do, have is all about. Now,
is preparation being grounded? Is that the other word?
Oh,
that they
yes.
Use?
That was another term from that era, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, being grounded.
So what does that mean to you,
being grounded? Being grounded just means doing my homework, really feeling what I'm going to do, and being in it. So like, for example, we did the thing on the power of pets. I am grounded in pets.
Yeah,
I barely had to do anything for that podcast because I've lived it. I've done research about pets. I've loved pets. I've done everything there is to do with pets. I've had many pets. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was grounded. I was prepared. I had lived it. I had felt it.
And you
had
confidence.
And I had confidence.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. The one thing that has never faltered in my life is my confidence on taking care of pets, period. I know I'm the best at it, and I don't question it, and I don't feel like I'm bragging, because I'm absolutely grounded in my love.
It ain't bragging if you can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, our mentors back then taught us that, is that if you are grounded, you cannot make an error.
True.
You can't. So that's cool. I thought it was great. So a couple of little points that just we tripped over in there about confidence, though, is if you can learn to speak slowly, people will hang on your words.
It's
hard to do. It's hard to do. I mean, I tend to, when I get a point in my head, I start to rush.
If you speak slowly, people think that you really know what you're saying. They think you've given it a lot of thought, and it gives you power, because people have to lean in.
They do. Okay, stand tall. That's another thing. I work on this stuff before I go on TV. I said, Mike, don't let your back, you're not going to be some hunched over old man. Get the hell up and stand up straight. And I even ask the makeup lady every time that I do this stuff, if you see me start to slouch, you let me know. And you can stop this show and tell me to do that, because I am not going to go out there and look like a buffoon, although I occasionally do.
Well, didn't they say that George W. Bush did the stand tall walk?
Yeah.
Because he's a shorter guy, right?
Yeah.
And he, to make himself look bigger, he did this
puffed up.
He kind of puffed up and walked straight and tall to give him power.
Like this sort of arrogant walk, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've seen actors do that too.
Yeah,
and they look much bigger than they actually are.
Yeah, that's cool. And the last thing, as if we didn't have to say it, exercise. Confidence. You know you feel more confident when you worked out, don't you? You do.
I know, but when you get older, when you get to be 60 and 65, things start to hurt, and you think, do I need to do this anymore? And you know what? Just get up and do it.
Jen's Health Minute.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we had a podcast called The Black Sheep
of
the Family.
We're not going back to that.
No.
No.
I have a brother who is...
Interesting.
A daily, how can I put it? Not problem, but...
I can put it as... Can I say problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
Challenge. He's a daily challenge,
problem.
So... He left like 12 messages on my voicemail, screaming and whatever.
Anyway,
so I tend to get headaches from this. I feel my shoulders going up and that, and I was taking Advil, liquid gels. I was taking Tylenol.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry.
It just does a number on my stomach and all that. And you know what I found, guys? If you have a really bad headache and you have time, take some ice. It's so simple. Make sure that you wrap the ice in something, like,
yeah, you
so you don't
freezer burn
on the back of your neck, and just place it on the back of your neck and at the base of your skull, and just sit there for a minute with your eyes closed. And I'm telling you, it works better than any over-the-counter pain medication I've ever tried. It takes away headaches. It takes about 10 or 15 minutes.
Does it last?
It does. Then you need to kind of roll your shoulders, go away a little bit, and come back to it again. And it really does. And it immediately helped me. So try the ice.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to argue with you. Time off. This is another of our little things. We get so many comments about this stuff, by the way. I hope, for first-time listeners, what are these clowns talking about? Well, people kind of like structure. You know what I mean? For us, it gives us more confidence to know that we have these little goalposts along the way of our show. So time off is one of the things that is cheap because we have no money anymore, but fun and great and interesting to do. So every week we try to come up with one. So yours is?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I tried, and I'm going to make this podcast is real. I am not going to say anything that is not true. I have not taken one time off this whole week.
No, you
haven't. It has been a madhouse. I've enjoyed it. It's been great. I'm not complaining, but I have had not one time off. Maybe reading my book, but I've talked to you about this book. I'm not finished with it yet.
Yeah,
it's called Blink, and I love it.
Okay.
I'll put it on the...
Want me to put it on the blog?
Yeah, put it on the blog. It's called Blink. It's really good. It's sort of a page turner, but I don't have anything new to bring to the party, so I'm just going to be quiet.
Okay. One thing that, because you've been away from the house, and which is unusual for us, we're usually cheek and jowl. Is that fair enough, or is that sexist anymore? Anyway, we are with each other physically a lot,
mm-hmm.
and so we haven't been this week because you're, doing that. So I have 5 dogs here at the house, and what I found during time off was when they're an opportunity to pick up one of them, and it just seems by happenstance I get one of them. This one's Boone. Boone P. He's a white chihuahua. He weighs about, 5-6 pounds. But he's a lover. And what I do with him, and I read about this, I look him right in the eyes, like person to person looking right in the eyes, and whisper things to him and tell him how gorgeous he is and what a brave and powerful guy and what a confident dog he is and all the wonderful things that he does. And I've read, and I believe it's true because I see it in his face, that it's like a hug to a dog. It's like a kiss to a dog, to just look him in the eye. And bizarrely of all, Boone will stare at me like I'm staring at him, and you see a little tear come to his eyes.
Aww.
And I don't know what that means at all, physiologically, if that's anything, but I'll tell you, emotionally, it makes me feel like $1 million, is it? I know, I've just connected with Boone the dog, and it made me feel so wonderful, and I believe it made him feel wonderful, too. So that's inexpensive, but it's a moment in your life, mm-hmm. a moment in your day when you're doing nothing but sharing something with another creature. And that was fabulous. I want to do that more. So I'll pick up 1 through 5 at some point, and we'll all have fun.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Remember when?
I do. Most of the time, but sometimes I forget. So what is it?
We always like to go back and remember the good old days because, a lot of our listeners are older.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you got a peach.
Okay,
this one.
I got a good one. Oh. Talk about confidence.
Yes, confidence.
Whoever
yes.
came up with this idea had confidence.
Well, his name is Gary Dahl.
Remember, guys, the pet rock? We looked the picture up because I forgot what it looked like. The pet rock came in like a box with holes in it, as if there was like a cat or a reptile or something in there.
Your rock has got to breathe.
And it had straw in the bottom of the
box.
Like a nest. And the pet rock was in there. And it was in 1975, and they sold those for $3.95.
That's a lot of money.
That was a lot of money back then. And guess how much this guy
made?
Plus
shipping and handling.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
I remember they would be at like the front checkout places.
Yeah.
So when you were with your mom, you go, oh my gosh, look at that.
End cap terror.
Yeah.
That's what that
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I mean, what an insane idea. I mean, a rock and you charge $3.95. Guess how much he made?
Yeah.
$15 million.
In 1975.
Yeah.
Well, you had to have a lot of stones to do that one. So.
I mean, but
holy
that,
cow!
But you have to say that's vision. That's confidence. I'm sure when he was came out with that idea, he went to pitch it, and people laughed him out of the room. I bet you there's a few people that were sort of going, oh, my God, well, I could have helped him.
Yeah.
And that took confidence. It took vision. I mean, he had to, you know, stand straight and say, this is a pet rock.
Slowly. But honestly, it's all in the, I mean, it's, this is a miracle of advertising too.
It is.
We, with all due respect, I'm holding my hand up here in a salute because holy moly, the packaging of that product, like you said, the nest, the little holes in the box, the, this whole thing, it became such a sweeping phenomenon. It was great. Did you have one?
I did.
You did?
I did. I had a pet rock.
Wow.
I should have kept it because I bet you they're worth something on Antique Roadshow.
Only if there's quartz or something. I don't know. Maybe so. All right. Quotes to finish the show today with a thanks again to Valerie Amoroso for a wonderful time. I'll give my quote first if you do not
mind. Please do.
This is about confidence. And so I will say a tiger does not lose sleep over the opinion of sheep.
Ooh, that's a very good one.
Want me to do it again because I love to. Okay. A tiger doesn't lose sleep over the opinion of sheep.
And the pet rock guy certainly wasn't losing sleep over the sheep.
That's correct. Okay.
Here's, all right, this is mine.
All right, ready.
Again, thinking about confidence.
Yep.
Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will.
Mm.
So get rid of that doubt. Stand tall. Find your confidence and go out there. Get it.
And speak slowly.
Thanks for listening. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.